Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome Jonathan Cronsted. He is the president of Kajabi, and he's here to share with us how he is empowering digital global... Empowering digital entrepreneurship globally. I apologize, straight out of the chute. Now, Jonathan has played a substantial role in enabling Kajabi, which is a platform that helps solopreneurs build, market, and sell their online products. And users are known to collectively earn over $700 million in revenue today. Now, Kajabi is a SaaS company, which is dedicated to empowering digital entrepreneurship by removing the technology challenges for those who have desire to sell and share their knowledge and passions online. Look, I started 2001, 2002. When we put together something like what he's talking about with Kajabi, we had to cobble so many things together that it was just a massive undertaking, and half the time it didn't get done because it was almost impossible. So anybody who has any kind of a course or, you know, products that they're selling, they understand what Kajabi and other companies like it are. So in the seven-year history of Kajabi, the company has had back-to-back showings on the Inc. 5000 and has helped its users sell over $400 million of their products via the platform. That's impressive. So previously, he was the GM of Success Academy, an ed tech and publishing company, and he enjoys the ability to travel for work and impact entrepreneurs, executives, and self-development seekers around the globe. Before we get too far out of the weeds, I want you to know that he previously served as the CEO of Digital Marketer and CEO of Direct Sales Dynamo Empower Network. He also spent time driving results for Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins Groups and was a chairman of Prodigy Consulting Groups. So, welcome, Jonathan. Thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
Oh, my pleasure, Denise. It's thrilling to be here. Really excited to chat with your audience today about just all of the opportunities that technology have made available for us today. I certainly am benefiting from that, you know, getting to do this podcast. I unfortunately had to be home today working virtually just because I had a contractor coming out to the house, but it's really, really cool to be able to leverage technology, do a great podcast for your audience. You all will probably hear from my tiny Bichon Cocker Spaniel mix, who loves to bark at whatever is going on. So if you hear that, definitely a very real interview today. And also on the Kajabi side of things, I definitely need to update our stats. You know, we're now a decade old with 5 years back-to-back on the Inc. 5000. And our user base has sold over $1 billion worth of their products via the platform. So we're definitely having a heck of a lot of fun powering the world of digital entrepreneurship. So there's a little bit of an intro and a little bit of an update.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I got that wrong, but thank you for updating that because I knew it was huge. I'm fully familiar with Kajabi. I just didn't know it had gotten that big that fast. So that's a huge congratulations to all of you.
Thank you so much. It's definitely something, though, that in all sincerity, we're having an amazing, amazing time. Our team has grown. We're now over 100 team members that are full-time working on building the platform and really equipping entrepreneurs all over the globe with superpowers. So it really is a tremendous amount of fun. But also a huge congratulations goes out to all of our users. You know, they really are braving entirely new and exciting paths in an industry that I think, and certainly Kenny, our CEO, and I share the belief that we've really only seen the beginning of this industry, that as you look at the hyper-nichification of celebrity entertainment, edutainment, you know, the influencer markets, and beginning to look at how individuals can craft businesses based around their passions or based around their experiences, it's just really going to be a heck of a lot of fun to be leading the way. So we're thrilled to be in the position we're in and love serving our users. It's really a good time.
And, you know, when I first started, none of this existed. Kartra, Kajabi, none of it. we barely had a newsletter surface. I mean, it seems like it was 100 years ago. It was maybe 18 or 20 years ago. It just was not that long. Things have just grown in leaps and bounds as, you know, as the market demands, as we need it. If I would have found you guys or something like you back in the day, back in the dark ages, I'd be so wealthy. I really would. But it just didn't exist. And I know that, these platforms now exist because there was a huge demand. There was a huge need from people like me. You know, we were cobbling systems together and doing an awful lot of praying and more cursing. Most of the time it didn't work. Remember those
days? Funny, you know, that was really the founding story of Kajabi. You know, you look at somebody who, Kenny Reeder, you know, degree in computer science and a highly technical developer background. And even then, when he sort of had this kid sprinkler toy that he wanted to sell and realized he didn't want to be in the manufacturing business. So it was sort of, I'd love to put together a shopping list, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, and here's how to build it yourself with some instructional videos and really supporting somebody in constructing the same type of sprinkler toy. Even with a computer development background, he was unable to string together all of the pieces. And you know, as he built it all and connected everything, it was the realization that by the time it finally started working, it was very clear that there was needing to be a better way, that, you know, anybody without a computer science degree wasn't going to be able to do this. So resulted in scratching his own itch. And, he and a friend founded Kajabi, and the rest is really history. It's been a really, really exciting season. And more importantly, seeing all of the businesses that have sprung out of it, you know, businesses that previously, when mass media was the only way to access a market, they couldn't have been businesses, because if you think about it, like hypothetically, we have a Kajabi hero who has a course on mushroom foraging. And no, not the mushrooms that, you know, make you see funny shapes and unicorns and rainbows, but really the mushrooms that you can eat and enjoy. He actually has a course designed around teaching you how to go out and find said mushrooms, cook said mushrooms, survive on said mushrooms, all of those kind of things. And that's a business that, if you could imagine trying to buy newspaper ads or radio time or television spots, it is impossible. You wouldn't ever be able to access a market that had enough of the 1/100th of 1% of the population that's really into foraging for mushrooms by mainstream media.
Or even afford it.
Even totally.
If you could find that market,
today,
could you afford it?
Today, thanks to social media and advertising and targeting, you're now able to put it directly in front of people that are interested in that, participate in forums and community groups that are interested in that. It's just a very exciting time that if you have the grit and are willing to step into the entrepreneurial arena, there's really no limit other than your creative, creative leadings as far as the type of business that you can start, the type of business that you can scale. It's a really cool time.
Right. And, you know, this is such good news for hobbyists too, and a lot of small businesses. And I've worked with a lot of people who, you know, it's just a hobbyist, like your mushroom guy. I'm sure he just kind of did that for fun. How not to poison your grandmother with mushroom risotto. I mean, who knows? But, you know, there's an awful lot of hobbyists out there then and now who are like, oh my gosh, you mean I can teach quilting patterns. I can teach crochet patterns. I've watched some of these people go, huh. And they're not even thinking right away of building it as a business, but they become so successful, many of them, that they're able to say, you know, I really don't want to work in that office any longer. I'm going to treat this as a business. And platforms like Kajabi allow for that. You can be a musician. You can be a hobbyist. You can be a web developer. You can be whatever you want. But as long as you put out, and this is my thinking, good, consistent, high-quality information, you can make money. You can make an audience. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely not. If you've got an audience, you can absolutely make money, and there's such a multitude of different ways to do so, everything from highly bespoke, customized coaching programs on topics of everything imaginable all the way down to your broad-based digital course offerings that can be selling around the world while you're sleeping. So there's really no limit to how you can serve that audience. And that audience can even be a multitude of audiences. We've met people that have really built a business initially on their career experiences and shortcutting other individuals in that career. One of the examples I love talking about is a gentleman who spent his entire career coaching, or not coaching at that point, but interviewing firefighters, that, you know, the interview process to become a firefighter is extremely challenging. And so it was something where he interviewed firefighters for his career as a firefighter. And then as he was retiring out of the fire department, he realized how many people really were passionate about getting a job as a firefighter. And the information and techniques that he had would equip them to do much, much better in the interview and drastically increase their chances of being chosen. So he and his wife love motorcycles. So they started a course on how to, you know, win in the firefighter interview process. And they basically take their motorcycle all around the country, pop into any hotel or wherever they choose to hang out for a bit. He'll handle his customer service emails, do his video coaching calls, and then it's back on the bike for wherever they're in the mood to go after that. So it really is a business and an entrepreneurship path that gives you an opportunity to create a business that you really don't need a vacation from. It's a very different mentality, almost a lifestyle entrepreneur focus, but with the opportunity to scale a very significant business. So it's really the best of both worlds.
It really is. And once I started discovering these platforms, and when I first started building websites, we didn't have WordPress. We didn't have Constant Contact or, you know, any of the newsletter. We just didn't have any of these things. And I was constantly trying to find a way to cobble something together, as I've mentioned, because it still bugs me. I was like, oh, how am I going to make this work? But what I found was that when listen, this is how long ago this was. I remember talking to my existing website clients. You know, I was never of the mindset where I build you a website, hand you the keys, say thank you for the payment, good luck, God bless. I always stayed in touch with them. And all of them have been my client, but two. One passed away, one retired and went to Germany. But all of my original clients, after I got my computer science degree, are still with me. And that's because I kept them abreast of what's going on. I remember talking with one client and saying, have you ever heard of Overstock.com? He said, no, what is it? I said, I don't know, but they're talking about Facebook. Let me go find out. I discovered Facebook. It didn't exist when I first started out. So after that, it's just this whole journey. You know, when you look back to where we all started and you start seeing how these wonderful, you know, platforms and abilities to just get your voice out there. Look, I'm a total introvert. You're never going to see me on a camera. You're never going to see a picture of me, but I get to talk with you because of Blog Talk Radio. So, I mean, these things are out there. It's just a matter of figuring out what it is that you want to share with an audience that you're really good at and really passionate about, and then just go do it. It really is kind of that easy, isn't it?
It really is. It's something that most people, and what we've often found at Kajabi, is some of the biggest challenges are individuals just with the best of intentions really overcomplicating the business, having it turn into something where they begin to apply very, you know, very old world processes to it. It's certainly an interesting one.
And one of the things, I mean, Kajabi is pretty much a one-and-done stop, isn't it? Can you, while I've got you, can you kind of walk us through what the components are? So if anybody's looking at Kajabi or is on this, you know, kind of on the edge of their seat, like, it sounds like a lot of work. I don't know how to do this. Why don't you walk us through, let's just say that I have an ability to teach music and I want to teach you how to read music. I can sing, by the way. I can't read music. I never could learn it. So something like that would be of interest to me. If somebody had a course where they could teach me to actually read music and then write music, let's just say that this person, this wonderful entrepreneur who's going to teach me this, hasn't a clue. When they go to Kajabi or something like Kajabi, but today we're talking about Kajabi, what can they expect to see and what can they expect to have to do in there? Without overcomplicating it, because I'm like you, I see that all the time.
Definitely. So it's really something that I'm going to recommend everybody really focus on the fundamental of the industry as a whole. It's something where I think a lot of people will get lost in either complicating the technology side, so really wanting to build the ultimate two-year follow-up sequence, the overarching technology architecture that ends up getting super complicated and then they never launch. That's the mistake number one And mistake number two is really complicating the course or what it is they're going to be teaching and how they're going to be teaching it. The key foundational element of this industry is transformation. It is my current state, my desired state, and the faster and simpler the path you can make between the two, the more I'm going to be excited about the journey and the more I'm going to be willing to pay for that information. I think a lot of people oftentimes believe that it becomes a quantity or a size of the course, or really desiring to create a very complex offering at the outset, when in reality, the easiest path to this is to craft the minimum viable product, the fastest path to that transformation, and then iterate based on the feedback of the users that go through it. So it's really something that, unlike a lot of other products, especially physical products, this industry is so adaptable in the process that the faster that you can ship a product that offers the type of transformation that you offer, the better you're going to be, because you can then begin gathering feedback and improving the experience. It could literally be as simple as you come to Kajabi, you have a process that really helps people grow in their career, whatever it happens to be. And you're going to then put together the fastest possible path for them to get the results that you promise. For some people, the fastest possible path is an 8-hour course because it's a lifetime of learning. For other people, it might be a 60-minute course with 4 15-minute segments within that course on the process. You're then going to offer that to the type of communities that would be excited about it. Preferably, you're going to actually offer it to a beta group that is going to give you feedback on it, and you're going to give it to them for free in exchange for a testimonial and in exchange for their insights into their experience with your product. And then once you've got maybe 10 people that have gone through it, all you're going to do is at the end of each module, you're going to ask them questions. What was confusing? What was overwhelming? What could have been made easier? After you implemented this, what did you learn? Then build all of that feedback into it, and then take the course live and start asking for whatever dollar value you assign to it. I think one of the other characteristic mistakes we see is people undercharge for what they're offering. That, you know, when you're looking at a course that took you 20 years of career experience to amass that knowledge, offering it for the price of a cup of coffee probably doesn't make sense. And for anybody buying it, they're not going to really view it at the level of value and insight that you have in it. So choosing the price for your course is another very important aspect. And then also considering the other ancillary offerings of expanding and improving your course, such as live one-on-one or one-to-many coaching opportunities, and really beginning to broaden that course experience to more of an engaged educational approach that has interactivity is another great way to add more value. And then it just gets pretty boring after that. You're just going to find bigger and bigger audiences to offer it to, bigger and better ways to improve your course, and then just continue to repeat over and over and over again.
I agree with you. You know, and I have to ask you this because I come across this all the time, and I've bought a lot, Lisa, I have invested in a lot of courses. Tony Robbins, you named him, you're a friend of his. I mean, I've spent so much money over courses. And I have found, this is just my personal opinion, if you will, the simpler the course, the less text-heavy it is, the more inclined I am to take it seriously. Because we're all busy. I mean, we're in a hurry. We just want to get in, figure it out, get out. We don't need to be lectured at or explained, or we don't need the whole history. Just tell me what I need to do. Do you find that that's kind of what works best?
Well, there's so many statements that really try to encapsulate that point. I mean, you know, everybody wants the baby, nobody wants labor pains, or, you know, nobody ever goes out to buy a drill when they really want it's just a hole. It's certainly something that understanding that people are buying your course, not because they want a course, but they're buying it because they want an outcome. And that's where I think broadening that understanding allows you to create digital education experiences that are far more broad-based, far more impactful, because you know that that person is coming to you for an outcome. And by coming to you for that outcome and you not necessarily trying to overload them with unnecessary amounts of material or believing that the value will be judged by the hours of audio or hours of video or amount of downloads, it's much more, can you get them the result and how simple can you make the path to get that result you're going to do far better. Like, you know, it's certainly one of those things. You only need to look at the fitness industry to see how effective this is. You know, nobody ever sold a weight loss book that said, you know, eat less, move more, and 2 years from now, you'll be at your ideal weight. It's always, here's how to do it in 30 days, here's how to do it in 60 days, here's how to do it in 7 days, here's how to do it in 4 days. Being able to stay outcome focused is critical in being able to communicate the capabilities of your course, but more importantly, to prompt individuals to be motivated to go through it. If you're setting them up for a extremely long and drawn out process at the outset, the likelihood of them starting it goes down, and the likelihood of them completing it goes down even further.
I think I read somewhere maybe a year or two ago that many courses don't get past the 2% mark. People just, they drop out. They may not ask for a refund. They may not actually do anything with it, but they get to about 2% and then they're done. Is that, am I reading something wrong, or have you heard that?
You know, I think in my experience, 2% is probably a little aggressive as far as how much people actually complete. I would say that Dan Kennedy
really?
Used to joke all the time. This was years and years and years ago, but he would joke then when courses were still offered on CDs. But he would joke about the fact that if he made a 12-CD course, he could have the CDs 6 through 12 be blank and nobody would ever refund because of it. And the reason is because nobody would ever get to CD number 6 and know that it was empty. And it's certainly something that we do operate in a society that by and large is looking for the microwave solution to everything. That, you know, our ability to remain focused over an extended period of time, to have the grit necessary to make actual change, it's certainly something that is in very short supply today, which for those of us who really have it, practice it purposefully, it, to me, is great news. I've never been disappointed that the, you know, the groups by and large are not willing to put in the time, because it just makes it that much more exciting and valuable for those who are willing to put in the time. But it is something that as digital course creators, you do need to be aware of the willingness and the capability of individuals to follow through and get results with your course, because their experience will be directly proportional to the results that they generate. So that's where you really do want to think through strategically, how can you provide quick wins early on that motivate and excite for individuals to continue down the path? You know, there's no doubt about it. If you're creating a course or you're creating some type of educational experience, it's going to be something where you recognize it's going to take implementation. It's going to take a little bit of time, and how you structure it in a way that hopefully motivates someone to give it that time and give it that attention is very, very important. But whether it's 2%, 20%, if the value is when you get to 100%, but nobody's getting to 100%, it's going to be a problem.
Right, right. Jonathan, can you give us some examples about how people can say, okay, I know that this is an industry problem. It's not just, you know, digital courses. This has happened since we could all read. This is just, you know, the attention span of the human condition. Do you have any examples where, you know, somebody said, okay, I know this is going to be a problem. I know it's going to be an issue. I am actually working some excitement into this, and I'm going to put it over here in this module or over here in this module, or I'm going to email. Do you have some examples where people saw it coming and headed it off?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really a twofold example, and the groups that I go to that I believe do the best job of this is certainly in the fitness industry. They really have understood for a very long time that change, especially lasting change, often doesn't happen quickly. And as a result, they know that they need to have some form of cash value in the experience early on, so that they have somebody who's willing to go through the next levels of the process. And so I think that there are two ways that they achieve this, and they achieve it fairly effectively. Way number one would definitely be the initial experience of results. So the initial experience of results is probably when you have the highest level of attention, highest level of discipline, and most interest in implementing a new way of doing things. So that's why you'll oftentimes see in any type of diet or exercise program, the first week is typically very regimented. You know, you're going to eliminate all carbs, some carbs, you know, whatever the stage is, you're going to have a pretty drastic week one, because that's when you have your most, you know, your most attention, your most commitment. And so they're going to probably do something in week one that is designed to really fast track some type of result. So you may lose 5 pounds in week one, and you may know that 3 of those pounds are water weight and are going to come right back, but it doesn't really matter, because what they've been able to do is they've been able to get you a measurable result that you can feel good about right away. So that is going to take that motivation and continue to apply it and move it forward. Whereas if somebody said, hey, you know, the first week, you're not going to really notice a ton of changes, that might not be as exciting. You're going to have a lot more rapport built up with your audience, that if you're not showing that result quickly, you've got to do a heck of a job really framing around why they haven't gotten a result fast. It's not impossible, but it's not ideal. And so the first element, of course, is how quickly can you get a measurable result that continues to move that motivation forward. The other element of it is accountability and community. This is another one of the reasons why the most successful companies involved in physical transformations have an element of community to it. And it's one of the big reasons why we wanted to build a community functionality into Kajabi, and why we built that last year and released it, is because the odds of individuals completing something after they have gone down the road of committed in front of others, received accountability for it, even if the results are not there or not immediate, knowing that there are others out there on the same journey trying to achieve the same results is massively powerful. You'll even see this in Kajabi. It's one of the areas that we are most excited about, which is our community inside of the Kajabi world, that we have our Kajabi heroes who we recognize and reward, because we really want to prompt that feeling of excitement, that feeling of there are others on this journey with me. And so it's something where we prompt that through our live events, through our communication, through our hero program, through our Facebook group, through our in-app communities. All of those things are designed for, again, a longer-term journey, especially like online entrepreneurship, that might not be able to get results in a week. How do we keep you engaged, excited, and motivated? The answer is introducing you to others that are on that journey alongside you, that you can lock arms with and really focus on making cool things happen.
I completely understand. I just had somebody ask me in the chat room, would Kajabi have a way for us to create an MLM type of thing, multi-level marketing? And I don't have the answer.
So we don't have that type of functionality. You know, the world of network marketing is a very unique one. It doesn't mean that there aren't individuals from that universe that utilize Kajabi more as a desire for kind of a training atmosphere. So, you know, if you're looking at putting out videos material to train a group of people, that's certainly something that Kajabi does and does extremely well. As it relates to, you know, back office software and tracking commissions and all of those other things, that's a much more specialized version of a multi-level tracking software, and it's certainly something that we don't play in. It's really not our world.
I understand. And while you were saying that, it occurs to me, I've got several client websites we're building right now, and one of them absolutely needs a training program. I mean, her office people are driving her insane because they just get, you know, a little bit here and there, oh, I don't know what to do, let me go ask her. So I said, look, we need to create these SOPs, standard operating procedures, and put them somewhere. Kajabi would be perfect for that, wouldn't it? For people who have offices.
Well, and that's...
who need to train their people, keep them trained.
That's a big part of the vision, because when you look at the power of what digital education can mean, previously it was very relegated to large companies, large budgets, and IT staff to maintain it. But if you think about it, no matter how small the business is, if you have any repetitive processes that you're looking to systemize or scale, having a training center that allows you to do that in a way that you don't have to continue to say the same thing week in, week out, but that you're able to create resources that can do the heavy lifting for you. That's where Kajabi, in my opinion, really has an opportunity to shine and make that accessible and make it leverageable to businesses that previously would not have had something like that.
And listen, all small businesses need that. I mean, this is an office of maybe 20 people, but they're scattered among 3 or 4 different locations. And the poor owner of the company, I was speaking with her the other day, she said, I just want to cry. They keep asking me the same stuff over and over and over again. Me being a mean girl, I said, tell them no. Tell them to figure it out. And then we went to the SOPs, and I was thinking we would put them in the back of the WordPress, but I really like the idea of Kajabi because then they can do training videos and they can do all kinds of different things. I'm glad we talked about
Absolutely.
This. I just made a note to talk with her about this.
Well, and that's kind of the elements where I think if individuals really begin to, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, be more outcome-oriented in a lot of the thoughts and questions they have, it's going to massively change how a technology like this can be applied. Most people are like, well, you know, that's kind of a cool thing, but I don't really know if I want to launch a business teaching people. It's like, great, you know, you may not, but are you in a business where you would like to systemize a lot of the learning that you wish your staff would have, a lot of the feedback systems that your staff participates in? It's really something where when you look at how a learning management system, especially like Kajabi that has elements of the LMS with marketing automation and all of the entrepreneurial tools that are really able to drive adoption, it gets really, really exciting. We actually have an individual who's been in Kajabi now for a while who built the fastest growing, fast casual franchise in the United States, and he actually did it with a franchise marketing team that was roughly 1/10 the size of their nearest competitor. And their competitor actually reached out and was like, hey, how in the world are you doing this? You know, you must have a giant franchise marketing team. And the response was, no, we only have, you know, 2 people. And it's like, well, how in the world are you doing that? Because I got 20 people and I'm not doing that. And it was pretty simple. It was, well, we have all of the leads that come to our website inquiring about franchising. We take them through what was built by Kajabi, but a process of video consumption, question and answer qualification to make sure that they would be a potential fit for a franchise. And then assuming pass all of that and they've gone through the effort, then we hop on the phone, let them know, you know, what it would cost and what the investment is. And assuming that that conversation goes well, we then send them through another Kajabi portion where they're going to go through more videos and more exercises that are really designed to qualify if they would be a good partner for us. So the first one is them qualifying themselves as a franchisee. The second is us qualifying them as potential partners. And it really has taken a lot of the manual and heavy lifting side out of it and put it into an automated system that does the heavy lifting for them. So they were really able to scale their growth utilizing a tool that kind of had a different application. So it was definitely learning for us and seeing how similar technology can be applied totally differently depending on your goals. But although those use cases are exciting, and it's certainly something we see a lot of, truly our core focus is really empowering entrepreneurs, experts, and influencers who are serious about their business to find success online. So that's really where we play and continue to develop.
And let's go back to it doesn't have to be that complicated. I mean, I get this all the time when I'm consulting with a new client, whether they're looking for online business management or produce their book or whatever it is that they need. And by the time we're done, they're like, I didn't know we could chunk it down like that. I was so overwhelmed. And I think that's why a lot of people don't start. You know, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about the big picture. And you said this at the top of the show. They're thinking about the big Rolls Royce. You know, this is what I'm going to produce. It's going to be gorgeous. And then they just go, oh, I don't know where to start. And I don't know how to build it. And I love what you said about just make, you know, the easiest path is just get there, go do it, and then build it in, you know, enhance it as you go. But so many people just cripple themselves with, oh, my God, it's my vision is so huge, I don't even know where to start. So where do they go? Where do they start?
Got it. So it really is something when you think about that, that and the joke that I always like to go back to is one of my favorite stand-up comedians of all time. His name is Richard Jenny, and he unfortunately passed away, but he had this great illustration that as a marketer, entrepreneur, business owner, I think really speaks to how most of us unfortunately pursue entrepreneurship. And it really is this process where he's talking about the croissant. And, you know, he's actually talking about it in terms of like, you know, leave it to the French to, you know, create this perfect pastry. And, you know, there was a guy, and there was a guy who spent his entire life perfecting this pastry, this croissant. You know, how many layers does it take to make something big yet small, and, you know, big but light and fluffy, and all of these layers of pastry? Is it 7 layers? Is it 13 layers? What is the perfect croissant? And he's like, you know, that guy spent his entire life toiling to create the perfect croissant. And he's like, then you have people like us. You got people that somebody was like, you know, this dude designed a perfect croissant. I'm just going to turn it into the croissant witch, and I'm going to sell millions of them through drive-through windows all over the place. And that guy never was really interested in the perfect croissant or how many layers it took, or was it the perfect croissant? It was, I'm just going to go ahead and grab this croissant and sell the hell out of it. And I think that for so many people, they approach this business with the belief that somehow the moment they put anything online, the entire world, all of their ex-girlfriends or boyfriends, their parents, their teachers, everybody that they view as someone they respect, are all going to immediately flock to that material, make fun of them for creating terrible things, and, you know, they're going to live the rest of their life in complete shame for what they put online. And the truth is just so far less interesting. It really is that when you first put something out there, just accept the fact it's not going to be your best, but you'll feel great that you put something out there. And also, all of the people that you respect are probably never even going to find out about it until you tell them. So it's really, first of all, letting go of the psychology of, I guess I would say, standards that are unreachable when you're beginning a new journey, and letting yourself really relax into this discovery process of what does it mean to be an online entrepreneur, and just going through the iteration like you have in every other area of your life. You know, you couldn't ride a bike until you could ride a bike. You couldn't cook until you first started cooking. Anything in life that goes through that learning process, online entrepreneurship is no different. And so I would certainly say for anybody listening that's exploring either this type of entrepreneurship or any type of entrepreneurship, the faster that you can get into action mode, having conversations with potential customers and selling your product, the better off you will be, because you will not be stuck in this perpetual creation mode of perfecting something that has never seen the light of day. And even sadder, if all you do is spend your time perfecting it, it may never see the light of day. And that's really one of the things that I think for us is trying to motivate people to just get into action mode. Get into action mode, get into feedback mode. Don't be the person who is, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in still playing business rather than doing business. You know, the entrepreneur that rather than making sales calls is still organizing their home office and buying more color-coded files or tabs or different pens or, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel organized, but ultimately you're really just hiding from the scary, scary element of choosing to sell something. And for us, yeah, it's no different.
You're right.
It happens to be technology, but from a Kajabi perspective, this is certainly an area we've got some pretty definitive opinions about, because we do believe that in many, many ways today, technology has become the new procrastination. That the idea of I'm just going to keep shopping for services, or I'm going to keep looking for different tools, or I'm going to keep connecting different tools in hopes of creating this utopian environment where it does everything automatically for me, it really, in a way, is sort of a new form of procrastination. But unfortunately, and what makes it even more devious, it's a form of procrastination that people will encourage you to engage in. That rather than just starting your business and talking to customers, you're still on your 40-second autoresponder that you're trying, or you're on your 30-second learning management system that you're connecting to an autoresponder, or your 12th shopping cart to make sure that it does the one pricing thing that will be the complete difference maker in your business. And it's something that there's plenty of forums, plenty of Facebook groups, plenty of meetup groups, plenty of groups of every kind that will say, oh, yeah, you know, that's great. And, oh, by the way, you know, while you're looking at the 10 that you're looking at, I found these other 10 that I'm currently looking at. And, you know, now why don't we compare lists? And so now we both have 20 tools to compare. And the only thing that everybody's certain of at this point is that you're never going to get through 20 tools, which makes it far less likely that you're ever actually going to launch your business. And so at Kajabi, we've really tried to not only build something that has everything rolled into it, but also be bold enough to say to a market that right now is perpetually overwhelmed and perpetually sold this belief that you're one tool or one capability away from being successful. It's just not the case. There's lots of businesses that have been massively successful with no tools at all. So it's something that hiding and playing, we really try to really push people outside of it and just say, you know, that's not really the way it works.
Now you have to get started. One of the things, I'm like you, I look at a lot of these different Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups, and I'll be honest with you, I will never need a facelift because I lurk in some of these podcasting groups. I've been podcasting for 10 years, and I belong strictly in the keep it simple, stupid camp. Keep it simple. I don't audit. I don't edit. I don't do any of it. I mean, once we're done, it goes out to iTunes, and we're back to business. But I spend some time watching people who have had a podcast for maybe a minute and a half, giving wild advice to other people who are taking it seriously. And my eyebrows go straight into my hairline. I'm just like, what did you just, what? Where did that come from? And I often want to say, just stop listening to this garbage. Just start it. Go do it. Keep it simple. Just start it. I don't understand why people want to make things so darn difficult. I think it's fear. And procrastination, of course, is a form of fear.
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct. And that's really where it stems from, is people that would rather, it's unsafe. I'm safe if I'm in my little world playing with tools, and someday I'm going to launch. But until I launch, I don't have to deal with the fact that maybe some people didn't buy. I don't have to deal with the fact that maybe I need to improve my offering. I don't need to deal with the fact that maybe I chose a market that I cared about, but there's not really a market there for it. There are so many things that I think psychologically that are at play when people are really resisting just getting their business out there to the public and letting the market respond. And to your point, I mean, how many amazing podcasts are probably right now one episode in, and the episode has never been made live because they're still trying to figure out editing software. That you know, they're still spending their weekends hoping that, you know, they're going to figure out how to use whatever audio program, and that's where that lives. But, you know, who knows? If they just got that episode out there, odds are people are not going to say, oh, well, you know, there were a couple of ums and ahs in this episode, and so I didn't get any value out of it, said nobody ever. So it's really one of those things that being willing to just lean into that uncertainty and, if anything, leverage it, that's really where I think the exciting things happen.
I agree with you. Listen, I use Blog Talk Radio and a telephone. That's as fancy as it gets. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm not going to change. It works for me. I love it. So, and I get to every Friday meet people from all over the globe and learn from them. I mean, you should see the notes I'm taking just listening to you. Just go do it. Just go do it. Now, let's go back, though, you know, to one of the things that you said, you know, and you referenced Dan Kennedy, who, by the way, looks like he's improving in health, thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few people in this world that are tough enough that they can walk into hospice and walk out. And if there was anybody to bet on, Dan would make that list.
Exactly. I mean, I remember talking with somebody on this podcast a couple, 3 months ago, and he didn't realize that he mentioned Dan Kennedy, and I said, well, you know, he's in hospice. He didn't know. I thought he was going to cry. And now here we're talking about Dan Kennedy again, and he's out of hospice, so God bless him. But my point for that is that, you know, you were talking about it used to be that we would have to order binders and discs. I still have some of those. I bought them. I invested in them. I'm not throwing them away. And there's probably some genuine wisdom still in those, you know, that not technology-wise, but, you know, just the common sense. And it now is with Kajabi, with, you know, all the different all the tools and platforms that we're using, social media, we can pivot on a dime. If we see that we made a boo-boo or an error or misplaced an Oxford comma or didn't add an Oxford comma, we can fix it and then go fix a cup of coffee.
Right.
It's that easy. So there's really, outside of your own fear, there's nothing really to stop you.
Well, and that's where I think also a lot of individuals get really tripped up about stuff is they really focus on elements of the business that just don't serve you. And I think it's something where that's the action mode that really fixes it. It's certainly the motion beats meditation side of things. And being able to just get busy talking to customers, working with customers, whatever audience it is that you're looking to work with, just spend time, talk to them, have fun with it, and you will be amazed at what you learn in the process, which is probably far more effective than all of the time spent in your own echo chamber or with, you know, one friend or however many you have that are just basically talking to you about your course. The real learning doesn't happen until you get it out into the market, and the market gets to tell you how they feel about it. You know, Dan, to your point, like think about what it used to take where you'd need to go into a recording studio and you'd need to record an entire audio program that would be on CDs. And then you needed to go to a desktop publisher and you needed to get a workbook printed up that matched those CDs. And then after you did all of that, then you needed to go to a packaging company and you needed to get the jackets and everything made and the workbook bound. And then you needed to take that over to a printing company and you needed to make sure that you had enough copies on hand and inventory to sell. And like you said, God forbid you had a typo or you had something in that finished product and now you got inventory full of all of the products you have with that mistake in them. That's what this business used to take. And even back then, when it took all of that, there were still countless individuals that made untold fortunes in this industry. And yet today, all you need to have is something that you're passionate about, a willingness to go out to the market that you know wants it, and the rest is pretty much handled by technology. It's never been easier to take on this adventure, and that's what makes it so hard for people that don't understand how hard it used to be. Because if they knew how hard it used to be, I don't think anybody would be reticent about starting today.
No, not a bit. And this, you know, what we're talking about with the binders and, you know, the CDs, and this was largely when websites were HTML. WordPress did not exist. You couldn't have a shopping cart on your website. You had to send a check or, you know, everything was just a step. I mean, and it wasn't two steps or three steps.
Yeah.
You had to take this step. Then, you know, you as the marketer would have to follow through and or pick up the phone. It was a lot of work. It didn't prohibit people from making it work. But technology now is just astonishing. And I'm a techie. I mean, I love technology. I dream in HTML. There was a short time for I was dreaming in short codes. It was very embarrassing. But, you know, it's just I love this kind of work, and I'm fascinated by the speed at which we are able, if we're willing to do it, to say we have an idea, we can go do this. The speed that you can go from, I've got an idea, to holy cow, it's live. I've seen people implement in one day. Really, it can happen.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really, truly is. And it's a time that, you know, as much as I am definitely an abundance-minded thinker and a staunch believer in the incredible opportunity that is out there for everybody, I do think it is something where, as much as it might be unpopular to say, I do believe that we are in, I guess I would say, a very unique window. That, you know, it's certainly one of those things that the opportunity will always be there. There's no question about it. Any marketplace always has opportunity for anybody who's willing to step into it and provide an amazing benefit to their audience. But it certainly is something, in my opinion, that what makes it all the more interesting is the fact that this market right now is still new. It's still very fresh. It's still very unique. And the individuals that really lean into it, invest in creating some amazing products, it's an opportunity for a lot of people to really be the first mover in their space, which is a very, very unique position to be in that few people in any industry have the opportunity to really take advantage of. It's just something where it doesn't come around often. You know, there's not often a new industry that somebody's able to jump into, add value to, and just by virtue of how early they are in the industry, benefit from, I guess I would say, disproportionate returns because you were there early. It's no guarantee of success. I'm certainly not saying that. You know, you still got to bring with you all of the things that will make somebody successful in business. But more just what I'm saying is that there are opportunities right now in markets that your listeners are very well versed in and very capable of taking advantage of that should they choose, they can be the first in their market offering these type of solutions. And as a result, be perceived as a market leader, a trailblazer, whereas if you're just showing up where everybody already is, the opportunity is going to be very different. And so I would just encourage people that are looking at this, wondering if it could be for them, wondering if it could be exciting. My read would be it absolutely can. You absolutely should. And I'd go for it.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I've watched two markets do this. One, of course, is podcasting. I've been doing it for a while. And now, of course, everybody's doing podcasting. Virtual assistants. When I first started building out websites, I became kind of by accident a well-known virtual assistant because I have never just abandoned my clients and just went and looked for new ones. I've always kept my client base, as I mentioned. And then all of a sudden, everybody and a fired secretary were virtual assistants, and it just became oversaturated and less educated. It was horrible. But more to the point, what I have found is that, you know, I'll be talking with somebody, I'm sure you've heard this as well. So, well, you know, I've got this idea, but everybody else is doing it. And I wish somebody would explain that mentality to me. Doesn't matter if somebody else is doing it. You're unique. You bring yourself to the market. You bring your skills and your years of education to the market. Why do you care what Billy Bob down the street is doing? Even if he's doing exactly the same thing, his market is going to be different from yours. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, no question.
So do you hear that? I hear it all the time, and I kind of just grit my teeth. It's like, look, we're individuals. We're unique personalities. We're unique voices. Why are you ignoring what you have fought so hard to create or build or learn? Why are you ignoring it because somebody else might do it better than you? I don't understand that kind of thinking, but it's prevalent.
Well, I think it really is something. Once you've been in a business long enough, you begin to see patterns. And for me, some of those patterns that I now am much better at spotting than I might not have been capable of early on in my career is there are lots of individuals that would rather argue on behalf of their limitations than to just choose to move beyond them. And it's sort of the Chinese proverb of never argue with a fool because anyone watching can't tell the difference. And I think that there are individuals that ask questions, that take action, and that genuinely move forward in earnest. And those are the individuals that create great businesses and arguably create great lives. And I think that for me, I've gotten involved in one too many threads on social media or discussions with individuals. And typically for me, it's always, you know, friends or acquaintances or individuals that are like, oh, what do you do? Oh, wow, I should totally do that. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, you totally should. And then their first response is, well, you know, everybody's already doing that. So why should I? And it's like, well, okay, if you think that, then, you know, you probably shouldn't. Like, there's no money in me convincing you. There's no money in me dragging you across the starting line. If that's the framework you're bringing to it, even if I succeed in arguing you out of your viewpoint, all you're going to do is make it my fault when it doesn't work. And it probably won't work because you came into it with the belief that it won't work. So to me, they're not really conversations I even choose to engage in because there's just no win to be had.
No, I agree with you. And I say this, I hear it quite a bit, but I'm fortunate in that my client base are all, oh, God, let's do it. You know, we come up with suggestions or, you know, process, and let's just do it. Let's do it. I love this idea. We work through it. We figure out who's going to do what, how it's going to work, what the benefit is to them and their, I call it audience, but it might be their employees. It might be their consumers, their clients, whoever it is. And once we've worked through all of the different areas where this is a benefit, where this might be a little tricky, but there are really no downsides, we're off and running. We don't think about it. We don't plot it to death. We just go do it. And that's the kind of work
that's
I like.
Where,
let's just go do it.
Well, and that's where I think oftentimes you will find that success really does leave clues. That, you know, when there's a reason why a lot of people prefer to raise their prices. And it's oftentimes not because you make more money, because you have to provide a different level of service at every price point. It's actually because it better qualifies the type of customer you deal with. And so it's something where the thinking is, oh, you know, I'm gonna have my price low so everybody can have access to the transformation that I offer and how I go about doing that, all of those things. But then what you quickly find out is the quality of your transformation that you offer will be directly proportional to the quality of the individuals that you put that information in front of. And I think it gets to be challenging because you end up with somebody that's like, your product didn't work. And it's like, well, you didn't apply it. And it sort of is something where, for me, that's where going back to that idea of, like, you know, how would you talk to somebody who says, well, everybody's doing this? And it's like, for me, the answer is I wouldn't. It's kind of like, you know, I think that when people bring those frameworks to it, you know, better to leave them to keep their assumptions than to try and force them to move past them. And I think that it's something that in this industry as well, there are so many people that just fall victim to, oh, you know, somebody was upset, or I gave away all this free content and then somebody was bothered that I tried to sell it to them and they got mad. I don't want to sell anything ever again. Like, it's really a hard adjustment for a lot of people to make when some stranger on the internet says something about what they're trying to do and it results in a little bit of awkwardness. Like, I was browsing yesterday and one of the memes that was floating around that I thought was really cool is Mike Tyson basically said, you know, social media has all of you way too comfortable confronting people without getting punched in the face. And it's
is that
like
not the truth?
Social
I
media.
Love that.
Oh, well, I mean, I am going to quote it all the time now, but it's like you have so many individuals that really have operated in this world where they believe that somebody saying something on social media actually matters. And it's like, it doesn't. It doesn't really mean anything. And if anything, it's going to be a really unenjoyable distraction to you launching an actual business that does actual things. Like, Dan Kennedy always made the joke. He said, if you haven't pissed somebody off by noon, you're probably not getting much done that day. And it's really something where so many individuals that I see in the digital entrepreneurship world, they shudder and shut down at the first instance of somebody didn't like what I put out. Somebody felt like I tried to sell them something. Somebody, you know, operated from a variety of these different frameworks. And it just really is something where those people aren't going to pay your bills. Those people aren't going to, you know, take care of you. It's your job to take care of you. And the sooner that you realize that you bothering somebody because you put out a marketing message is probably the first step to you actually getting your business out there. So I would just say really leaning into and having those psychology shifts, in my opinion, makes all of the difference in this type of world.
Absolutely. Well, we are just about out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the audience before we have to take off here?
I would just say we truly live in one of the most unique and technologically inspired times that we've seen to date. And the opportunity for entrepreneurship has never been greater. The ability to reach an audience has never been larger. And it certainly is only going to get better and bigger. So if you're considering it, check us out at www.kajabi.com. We'd certainly love to set you up with a free trial, or you can go through our 28-day challenge and get your product created, marketed, and sold in less than a month and double your length of the trial just for going through the challenge. So we'd love to support you on your entrepreneurial journey, and no matter what you choose, now is the perfect time to jump in. So just get busy doing something you love and have a good time with it.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience, and I hope they really listen to your message. You know, go do it. Get ready. This is a very unique time in history, and I'm right there with you. I'm fascinated by everything I see every day, even if some of it does make me go, what? What the heck was that? It's still fascinating. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and honestly anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for your partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Jonathan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.